Some of the revelation I'm going to share with you out of the Word of the Lord, it's not going to be new. You've heard me say some of it before behind the pulpit, but it is very fresh in my heart. And I think it really is something. If we're going to live a victorious life in Christ, we're truly going to walk in resurrection power. It has everything to do with our attitude toward the cross and where our faith is at. You know, you can't separate resurrection life and power from the cross. They work hand in hand in a glove. And so we're going to be talking about a little along those lines today. This morning, I want to talk to you about bricks without straw. Bricks without straw. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 6 and put your marker there. Romans chapter 6. Put your marker there. And then go with me to Exodus chapter 5. Now again, let me begin by saying something you've heard me say before. But if this will get into your heart, it will totally change the way we read our Bibles. It will totally change the way we read our Bibles. See, the Word of God says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. That simply means that before the world began, God knew somewhere after creation, man was going to fall into sin, and so he already had a salvation plan. He already had the restoration plan set in place in his heart, and that is the cross, the cross. Now, what we have to understand is this. If the cross was in the heart of God before there ever was a creation, if Jesus was truly slain before the creation of the world, then what we have to understand is everything God did in time, when he did it, at the forefront of his mind was the cross. Going all the way from Genesis chapter 1, the creation, all the way into Revelation, everything God did in time while he was doing it, at the forefront of his mind was the cross. He was thinking about the cross. He was revealing the cross. There was something about the cross that he was showing. And when you understand that, when you begin to see that, then whenever you read the Bible, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, you find the cross in it. You find the heart of God in it. You find the plan of God for man's salvation and liberation from the power of sin. The cross is in every story. And that's really the way we need to read our Bibles. And it all goes back to the one scripture. From the foundation, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. Before there ever was a creation, in the mind of God was the cross. When that is in your heart, it really changes the way you read your Bible. And there's so many wonderful new covenant truths that just come alive from Genesis chapter 1 all the way from Revelation. Now, with that understanding, I want you to look with me at Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 9. And they said, this is talking about Moses and some of the Hebrew people, and they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you under your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and yet make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. For they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let not them regard vain words. So here we have Moses in Pharaoh's court with some of the Hebrew elders, and he's telling Pharaoh that God wants his people to go into the wilderness and to make a sacrifice. Now, beloved, I want to look at the word sacrifice here. In verse 3, it says, the God of Hebrews that met with us, let us go that we pray thee 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice. Now, what I want us to understand is that word sacrifice points to the cross. It points to the ultimate sacrifice, Christ dying on the cross. Remember, we have to go back again. I can't overstate it enough. The Bible says Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. And so everything points to the cross. Everything God did in time points to the cross. So when the Lord tells his people, I want you to go into the wilderness and make a sacrifice, when he's talking about a sacrifice, at the forefront of his mind is the cross. Every Old Testament sacrifice that was offered, when it was being offered up to the Lord, in his heart was the cross. So in essence, in this story, what the Lord is simply speaking is this. The Lord is saying, come to the cross. When he's saying, go make a journey into the wilderness 3 days, I don't think 3 days is a coincidence. We know what that means. 3 days, he resurrected. The Lord is saying, come to the cross. He's saying, freedom from your bondage is in the power of the cross. It doesn't matter how strong the strong man is in your life. Freedom from his power, freedom from his bondage, freedom from the power of the sin nature, because ultimately that is the tyrant of all tyrants, not Pharaoh. The sin nature is the strongest tyrant that has ever lived, lived against the people of God. And he's saying here, liberation from the power of the strong man in your life is in the cross. The cross has the power to break his slavery. The cross has the power to break his tyranny in your life. Ultimately, you have to see the cross in the story. God is calling his people to the cross here. Now, with that understanding, I want to look at something, and then we're going to come back to our story. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, let me just say this before we read the verse that I want to look at. When you read through the letters of Paul, Paul makes it very clear that the captivating power of the sin nature has been destroyed in the lives of God's people. He makes it very clear that we have a sin nature. We have to deal with the sin nature. We have to deal with the lusts of the sin nature. But the captivating power of the sin nature has been broken in the life of a believer. Sin shall not have mastery over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace. So the question that comes to our mind is simply this. Well, if the power of the sin nature, the enslavement of the sin nature has been broken in the life of the believer, well then how did Christ do that? How did he destroy the captivation of sin? Well, look with me at verse 6. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay? So, read it again. Paul tells us right there how it's destroyed in a believer's life. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, him being Christ. Now listen, when Paul uses the term old man in this scripture, he's talking about the sin nature. What he's talking about, he's saying, knowing this, the old man, he's talking about the sin nature. And what he's simply saying is this, is when Christ died on the cross, when he was crucified on the cross, the captivating power of our sin nature was crucified with him. The captivating power of our sin nature was put to death with him. Because in this scripture, that's what crucifixion is implying. That's what Paul is implying, to be put to death. So that's how it happens. Let's keep it simple. What Paul is simply saying is this, is when Jesus died on the cross, at that time, when he was crucified on the cross, at that time the power of the sin nature in a believer's life was smitten with a death blow. That's what he's saying. And I want you to look at verse 6 here. There's a very interesting word, a very small word, but if you miss it, you really miss a powerful revelation here. Look with me at verse 6 again. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, beloved, that word is in your Bible, I would circle that word. That is a very powerful word in this scripture. Why? What makes that word is so powerful? Because is present tense. No, Paul didn't say that knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ or hath been crucified with Christ. Our old man is crucified with Christ. That puts the power of the cross in our life today. The cross was not a one-time event that took place 2,000 years ago. Even though Jesus died once and for all on the cross, the power of the cross still works in our life today and every day. Paul is saying the reason why the sin nature is defeated and destroyed in your life is because the power of the cross is working in your life today. Beloved, you can't have a mindset that says, okay, Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and when I come to the cross and ask Him to forgive me of my sins and I receive Him by faith, now the cross has done its work, now I move away from the cross. I don't need the cross. No, we need the cross every day in our life. Every day it is the power that puts this sin nature to death. So how is this captivating power in our life put to death? How is it was by the cross that Jesus did that? By the cross. I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I just really want to bring this point out. Look with me at verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Beloved, that's a wonderful scripture, and many of us know that scripture, and we can quote it by heart. But what a lot of people don't know is that word saved, in the original language that Paul wrote, the Greek language, it's a word of continuation. It means to continually be saved. So a more thorough translation would simply be this. But for us that are continually being saved, it's the power of God. In other words, when Paul in verse 18 says, it is the power of God unto salvation, for us that are saved, it is the power of God. He's not just talking about that one moment in time where we realized we needed our need for the Lord, invited Him into our life, and then we were born again. He's not just talking about that. What he's talking about here in this scripture is an overcoming life. He's talking about walking daily in victory. That's what he's talking about. In other words, this is what Paul is saying. He's saying the cross is the daily power in our life to walk out our salvation. The cross is the daily power in our life to live an overcoming life. In order to live an overcoming life, our trust cannot be in ourselves, our trust cannot be in our own efforts, but fully in the work Jesus completed on the cross. That's where our daily victory is at. It's not just talking about that moment you were born again. Really, the emphasis is on walking daily in victory. It's in the power of the cross. That's what he's saying here. Now, with that understanding, so then we have to ask the question, okay, so then how do we enter into Christ and the victory He won on the cross? How do we daily enter into Christ and the work that He finished on the cross? How do we do that? One word. Faith. By faith. Now, just stay with me. We're going to pull all this together in a minute, but I got to bring this out. I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14 says, Paul writes to the Galatians, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now look what he says again. He says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, when you really understand the issue that Paul is tackling in Galatians, then you know he's talking about the object of his faith. When Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about the object of his faith. You see, what happened with the Galatians and what Paul is dealing with is this. They moved from simple faith and the work that Jesus completed on the cross, just trusting in that, they moved from that to circumcision. And because they moved from that, going back to circumcision, placing their trust in circumcision, they're coming back under the bondage of the sin nature. They're coming back under the bondage of the flesh. So what Paul is simply saying is this. He's talking about his faith. When he says, God forbid I should glory except in the cross of Christ, he's saying this. God forbid I should place my faith in anything else other than the work he completed on the cross. Other than the work he finished on the cross. See, Paul understood something. Paul understood that if he moved his faith from simply trusting in the victory Jesus won on the cross, the work Jesus won on the cross, he was going to go right back in bondage to the sin nature. He's going to go right back in, and that's what he's telling these Galatians. Galatians, you're going right back into the bondage of your flesh. You're going to find your old fleshly lusts beginning to take dominion over you. You're going to find yourself enslaved to your flesh and your lusts again because you've moved your faith from simply fully trusting in what Jesus did on the cross to something else. Beloved, it was by the cross, the power of the cross, that Jesus daily smites the power of this captivating sin nature in our life. Now, with all that understood, going back to Exodus, in this story, God is crying out to the world, come to the cross. Freedom from your bondage is in the power of the cross. Listen, that's God's heart here. When he says, go make this sacrifice. You know, they didn't understand the cross then, but we understand it now. And the revelation of Exodus 5 is simply this. Go to the ultimate sacrifice and you'll find it'll break every tyrant in your life. That ultimate sacrifice. But here is what is really on my heart to say. Here's what is on my heart to say. God doesn't just speak this to the unsaved. I believe this is God's greatest call to all his people today. I believe the day we're living in, this is God's greatest call to all Christians. Why do I say that? Because so many are living in failure and bondage today because they're still trying to do it in their own strength. So many Christians are living in bondage and failure today. I'm not talking about complacent Christians. I'm talking about Christians that love God and they want to live a godly life. But yet they're experiencing failure and they're experiencing bondage in their life because they're still trying to do it in their own strength. They're still trying to live in victory in their own efforts and it's futile. And let me just say this. I believe every Christian goes through this in some measure or another. I really do. I believe every Christian goes through this in some measure or another because walking in self-strength is just so ingrained in this old nature. You're doing it and you don't even realize it. It's just so ingrained in this old nature. Beloved, I have come, walking with God for many years, I have come to a biblical conclusion. You cannot make yourself stop from walking in the strength of your flesh. You can tell yourself a million times, I'm not going to trust in the strength of the flesh. I'm not going to walk in the strength of the flesh. I'm not going to trust in the strength of the flesh. I'm not going to walk in the strength of the flesh. You can say that a million times, but it's powerless in your life. It's something I believe all God's people do in some measure because it's in this fallen nature. And see, when you're walking in the strength of the flesh, what happens? You often fail. Because the strength of the flesh is powerless to live the crucified life. It's powerless to live a life of victory over the sin nature. And so when you're walking in the strength of the flesh, what happens is you're going to experience times of failure in your life. And when you love the Lord, with failure comes a lot of self-despair. Oh, I failed the Lord again. I failed him again. And then we understand what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? It's not a hard process. I'm going to call it a process because I believe every believer has to go through it. It's not an easy process. Failure is not an easy process. Self-despair is not an easy process. But here's the good news of it all. It brings us to a point in our lives where we begin to cry out, God, I can't do it. I can't live this crucified life. I can't live in victory over the flesh. I can't do it, Lord. And what's happening when we begin to understand just how much I can't do it, there's a dependency that begins to turn upon the Lord. What happens in that place of crying out, God, I know now, I can't do it. What's happening is the eyes of your heart begin to lift from self and they begin to lift to the Lord. They begin to look to the Lord. And beloved, where there's ever increasing dependency, there's ever increasing strength in your life. I like what Pastor Teresa said one time. I really love this. It's really a freeing revelation to me, and it's something God began to build upon. She said once, so often when we feel like the Lord is most displeased with us, that is when He is most pleased because He sees an understanding coming into the heart. I thought that was very powerful. So often when we feel like the Lord is most displeased with us, that is when He's most pleased with us because He sees an understanding coming into the heart. In other words, in these times of failure, walking in self-strength and failure, we can feel like, God, I failed and I know I displeased you again. But often in these times, God is pleased because He sees a realization coming into the heart. The realization being this, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I can't live this crucified life. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own efforts. And our dependency really begins to shift upon God. Or in other words, our eyes begin to look to the cross more and more. To the victory He won. God, I can't do it, but you destroyed the power, the captivating power of sin in my life. I'm not looking to myself, God. I'm looking to you. I'm telling you, that is a cry that I think pleases God the most. So many times when we're down here going, oh God, I failed you again, I failed you again, you must be so unpleased with me. God is saying, no, your failure is my success. Because you're beginning to get an understanding, you can't do it. Now look to the cross. Because I've already done it. And beloved, when this truly happens, this despairing of self and just beginning to look to the Lord, something else happens. Through faith in Him, the power comes to crucify the flesh. The power comes to put off the old man. The power comes to present our members as instruments of righteousness. It's because our trust and dependence is now truly upon Him and upon what He completed on the cross. Beloved, I want to say, I believe every believer has to take a journey back to the cross. I believe that with all my heart. We get saved and we say, thank you, God, you saved me. We start hearing the covenant promises of God. And then there's just something in the self-strength that just wants to work out the covenant promises of God in our life. We've seen it in the life of Abraham. He's the example of every believer. He's the father of faith. And so the Lord says, okay, well, I'm going to have to let you walk in self-strength, fail in self-strength, walk in self-strength, fail in self-strength, till you get right back to the cross. And say, God, I don't need the cross just to save me. I need you every day of my life just to live an overcoming life. And God says, with ever-increasing humility, you're going to find ever-increasing strength. I believe every Christian has to take the journey back to the cross. For some, it's longer than others. But it's one that we have to take. Because just walking in this self-strength is so ingrained in this nature. Now here is where we get the title of our message. Remember, the title of our message is Bricks Without Straw. Would you go with me to Exodus chapter 5? Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and yet you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the bricks which they did make heretofore you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men. So here's what happened in this story, and then we're going to apply it to a believer's life today. They say, we want to go to the wilderness and make a sacrifice. Again, the sacrifice pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. We want to go to the wilderness and make a sacrifice. And Pharaoh becomes mighty upset at that. They want to go into the wilderness and make the sacrifice. And all of a sudden, he makes their burdens harder. He makes their burdens worse. Now here's where we apply this as new Christian believers. When we start getting to the point where our eyes are lifting from ourselves, because we're getting an understanding, you know, I've tried to live the crucified life in my own strength, I can't do it. I've tried to live victorious over this flesh, I can't do it. When that understanding gets in your heart, and you begin to start looking just to Christ, looking to the victory he won on the cross, I want to tell you something, that gets the enemy scared. Why does he get him scared? Because he knows so many strongholds he has on your life is about to break. Because you're not looking at yourself anymore. Now you're turning to the sacrifice. You're not depending on yourself anymore. There's a dependence upon Christ and his finished work that's getting into the heart. And when the enemy sees that, he gets scared. Because he knows things I've held them in bondage with for so long are about to break because of simple trust and faith. So when he starts getting scared, I want to tell you something. He comes harder at you than he has ever come before. He comes at you harder than he's ever come before. And the reason he's doing that, he's trying to get you so discouraged that you quit in unbelief. Well, this cross thing don't work. I've been taking eyes off self and truly putting it on the cross, and it seems like things are just getting harder now. It doesn't work. That's the mindset he wants to get you in. But beloved, the Lord has encouraged me, wants me to encourage somebody today. If you're truly looking to him and looking to the victory of the cross in your life, not anything of yourself, but everything that he won on that cross for you, if you're truly looking for that, don't lose heart. Even if the enemy is coming at you harder than he ever has before, don't lose heart. It's just because he's afraid. Because he knows eventually he has to let go. He knows his strongholds have to break. Because you're walking in simple faith now. My faith is not in what I can do. It never will be again. It's in what you have already done. I believe there's people here today. I really believe in my heart there are people here today. And you are in this place of dependence. You've made your journey back to the cross. Through a lot of trial, a lot of failure in your life, you understand, I cannot do it in my own strength. You are right back at the cross saying, God, I'm not looking at myself, trusting at myself, I'm looking to you. And now that you're at that place, the enemy, you're fighting discouragement because the enemy's hitting you with everything he has. It seems like it's not getting easier, it's getting harder. My eyes are on the cross, my eyes are on the victory, but it's not getting easier, it's getting harder. God wants to encourage you today, don't sink in unbelief and quit and give up and get discouraged and say, this doesn't work. It does work. And if he's saying, if you'll just maintain your confidence in me, keep your eyes upon the cross, you're going to find these bondages that dominated your life begin to break. And it's not nothing about you. It's just that your faith is finally in the right place. Don't get discouraged. The enemy may be saying, I won't make you make bricks without straw. It's only going to get worse. Don't get discouraged and quit. It's just because he's afraid. He knows those things he held you with for so long, they gotta break. They're going to break. Because you're looking to him. Now, And I want to tell you something. When you hit that place, that's when joy really begins to fill your heart. That's when you really begin to walk in the joy of the Lord. When Sarah finally had that baby, she named him Isaac, meaning laughter. I'm telling you, when she held that little bundle in her hands and she looked at Isaac, I'm telling you, there was a gladness in her heart. But this is what I want us to understand. Her joy went a lot further than just having a little baby. That joy that came out of her heart came out of a revelation that was now in the heart. The revelation simply being this: I know now I don't have to strive or look to the strength of the flesh to produce the covenant promises of God. I just have to love God and have faith in God, trust in God, and He will perform everything. Oh, it took me a lot of years and a lot of tears and a lot of failure and a lot of disappointment to get to that place, but I'm finally at that place. If He promised it, He'll perform it. And all I have to do is believe it. My womb is dead. I can't produce covenant children. I can't produce babies. God's not asking me to do it in my own strength. He's simply saying, believe. You know, it took me a lot of years and tears to get to that place. But I'm finally there. And oh, the joy, the strength, the resurrection power, and the joy that's in my life from just finally coming to a place of saying, God, I can't do it, but You can. I trust You. Stand with me this morning.